everyone, Merry Christmas, and welcome to episode 5 of The Tangles, official companion podcast to BeneathTheTangles.com. I'm your host, JP, known affectionately or not, online as Japes and Japesland. As you may know, if you've been following our blog and podcast, every month of The Tangles, we like to feature a different staff member of Beneath The Tangles. This month, our humble editor-in-chief at Beneath The Tangles, Charles Sadnick, is actually making another appearance, his third episode, 2 episodes in a row, actually, and he will be co-hosting with me today.
Thanks, JP. I don't know if that was Santa Claus or Count Dracula, but either way.
Thank you.
It was very good. I'm happy to be here, as always.
Thank you for that. I couldn't make it very far. I just couldn't do it. We're going to go ahead and just kind of nick. So you've probably noticed in the first 4 episodes, we've used a very formal, scripted kind of sound for our transitions between sections. So we're going to go for something different. We're on episode 5. It's Christmas Day. Let's do something more fun. So as always, we both have a rotating co-host and a new guest every episode. If you've been listening before, you're already familiar with that. Last month, we had Marina from Anime BNB, with whom we discussed anime that had most affected us, and it was a lot of fun. I recommend checking out episode 4 if you have a chance. This month, we're happy to have yet another anablogger with us, representing the blog A Series of Miracles at nichijosdf.blogspot.com, and his name is Frank.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for being here with us today, Frank. So, just like last episode, we're going to skip our introduction. Charles has already been here more than long enough. And we're going to be moving on straight to Frank. So, Frank, would you care to share just for a few minutes a bit about yourself, both online and offline?
Okay. So my name is Frank, and yes, what I do is I'm actually in the United States Navy, and I'm stationed here in Hawaii. And when I'm not doing stuff over there, I'm watching anime, playing games, and messing around with whatever I feel like messing around with.
Sounds like the life. Well, I don't know about the Navy part. Well,
it gives me money.
Right. Now, seeing as The Tangles is a podcast devoted to exploring Christian spirituality, would you care to share a bit about your religious beliefs, Frank? Something for our listeners?
I'm a born-again Christian. I've been raised up in the church. One of my ongoing themes in my blog is that I'm kind of like an Osana Najimi with God, just your childhood friends.
Mm.
But only after growing up, really, coming to accept him as my Lord and Savior. So, just a standard born-again Christian, belonging to a denomination called Foursquare, which, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty much non-denominational.
Is it like the social media?
Not related. Not related.
We've had a couple guests now that seem to share some of your backgrounds, but it's always cool to hear from different people. Mm-hmm. You never know who you're going to get in the anti-blogger community. Obviously, Charles has lots of connections with different people, from atheists to born-again Christians and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always great to hear a little bit from the different guests we have and get a different perspective. So at this point, we're going to be moving on to our news and announcements section. So, Charles?
Yeah, JP, we have a number of things going on, actually. For those of us who've been following along with the blog lately, we've been doing our 12 days of Christmas anime series of posts where we've been talking about a different Christmas anime episode every day. Today is the last day of that series, and that's been a lot of fun. We've been doing that for, I believe, 4 years now. I have a personal thing I want to mention also is that in about a week, I'll be doing 2 panels at IckyCon, which is the local convention in Austin. So if you are in the Austin area, I would really ask that you consider going. On January 2nd, I'll be doing these 2 panels. And the one that's kind of related to what we do on a blog is entitled The Gospel of Femme Kirito and Sharktooth Swimming Boys. So that should be a lot of fun. That's going to be at noon in room 412 at the con. So please come if you're going. And then finally, we have another interesting project that's anime related. And that's also kind of a bit of a personal project. And actually, JP, I will have you talk about that a little bit.
I'm kind of disappointed that I'm not going to be there for the Gospel of Femme Kirito.
I'm still actually trying to figure it out a little bit. So, yeah, about a week left. We'll see how that works out. No, but it'll be good. It'll be good.
I know how you feel. All right, well, my pet project, actually, and by the time this episode goes up, you'll hopefully have seen an article on it. I will link it, though, in the description if you have not. I have been slaving away in my free time over the last month on releasing my project, the Key Anthology Saxophone Collection. If you have been following any of what I've done, I've mentioned from time to time that I have a saxophone channel, which goes by my same pseudonym, Japesland, where I mostly cover video game and anime openings and endings, whatever I have time to cover. Well, I decided to change it up a little bit this last month, and I actually went through and selected 17 tracks that cover key visual novels and anime ranging from 1999 to 2011, and put together my own saxophone covers. So it's coming out officially January 1st, completely free. I'm not trying to make anything. I'm not even getting advertising dollars from it. It'll be up on YouTube, all the individual tracks in a playlist, as well as a download on my personal blog, which we'll have linked a couple places, where you can get sheet music. You can get the karaoke tracks if you play your own instrument and would just like to play along, do your own. But the thing that's relevant to our Tangles listeners is I'm posting a link on the description here that gets you an exclusive download that is the same thing that everyone will be getting on January 1st. However, you can get it on the day the podcast goes up, which is Christmas Day. Now, the way you access this is at the end of the podcast episode, I will be giving out a password. When you click the link, it'll get you to a private page on my blog. You just type in the password, and there are your download links. So either listen through to the end of the podcast or just skip to the end. We hope you listen to the whole thing, but no one's judging, I suppose.
I just interject that the post that JP refers to about this upcoming collection has a little kind of preview trailer. And if you're a fan of key visual novels, you're just going to get the goosebumps watching it. So I really highly recommend that you watch that and then go ahead and download it. It's going to be really, really great, I'm sure.
Oh, thank you, Charles. Try not to overhype it too much.
Well, you're right.
At this point, we're going to be moving on to Otaku Diet.
Otaku Diet.
Now, while video game podcasts have a what we're playing section, anime podcasts have a what we're watching section, and all other podcasts have their appropriate sections, we pretty much consume whatever we want that's within the otaku spectrum. And so in order to reflect that, we named this section Otaku Diet. We're just going to spend a few minutes talking about everything we're consuming from video games to anime, light novels, whatever it is. Frank, would you like to get us started?
Okay, so I'm watching a lot of anime. I'm behind on a lot of anime because I tried to watch something upward of 18 shows, and clearly that's not happening. But
I know how that feels.
But some of the shows that I've sort of been most enjoying, The Encouragement of Climb second season. That's a really good one, and then Celestial Method, Shirobako, Log Horizon, When Supernatural Battles Became Commonplace, Mushishi, and sort of a kind of surprise one, a Good Librarian Like a Good Shepherd, which actually has worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I can't say I'm familiar with that. Do you happen to know the Japanese title?
Daitoshokan no Hitsujikai.
Yeah, I'm still not familiar with it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm watching anime-wise, as well as watching my Secret Santa anime. I'll give a quick hint as to what it is. There are flowers of blue involved. And other than that, I've been playing some Pokemon Omega Ruby, And beyond that, my time is pretty much entirely consumed by Love Live! School Idol Festival, which I talked about this on my blog. It's a mobile rhythm social game that's based on the Love Live! Franchise. And it's a really fun game for if you want to check out the Love Live! Music, because the note charts are actually pretty good. Pretty challenging, especially if you've gone to experts. And there's also all the Love Live girls, and they have story chapters for all of them. And you can totally get into the whole card collecting scene if you want. And it's free to download. It's free to play, and everything you can do in the game you can do without spending a single dollar. But if you want to do it more often, you'll be prepared to spend money.
Right. Now, I do have a quick question. I have a friend who is, I think I can accurately say, pretty shamelessly obsessed with it. I think he would agree with that statement, too. And he's been trying to get me into it as well. So now, my two questions. It sounds like you said it's free. Now, is that in North American iTunes?
Yes, it is North American iTunes, iOS, and Android.
Oh, it's for Android as well. Okay. So now, before we move on, I'm just curious. This is kind of a two-part question. So now, first, is this game accessible to someone who's not familiar with Love Live? And second, what do you think makes it so fun? Because I've heard so much about this, I'm just curious.
Okay. Is it accessible to someone not familiar with Love Live? It definitely is, in the sense that the music is... music. It's your mind may vary how much you actually like it, but if nothing else, I believe it's a solid rhythm game. And the story, they pretty much give you an introduction to all the characters through the first couple of story chapters, and then the rest is what, and the rest just builds out from that. As for what makes it fun, like, I am a big rhythm gamer. In addition to Squad Festival, I also play Juke Beat and Reflect Beat Plus, which are... And then I've played some DDR and Rock Band in the past, and I just love rhythm games, so there's that aspect of it, and I really love the music. The story chapter is a lot of fun, and then the other thing that I think can be a lot of fun is if you really get into the events that the game has going on, and and participating in those, there's special songs that you can play, and then there's also like these score matches where you get matched up with other people and try to beat their scores, and there's also good community over all of it. So yeah, there's a lot of things, and if you want to check it out, I think.
Well, you're the second person that I've talked to who has just had nothing but praise for it. So it's a, it's becoming increasingly interesting.
Well, I wouldn't say I have nothing but praise over it, but that it is a lot of fun.
Charles, you don't play any mobile games, do you? You don't have time for mobile games.
Does like Candy Crush count or something like that? No, you know me, JP. I downloaded Planetarium like 2 months ago, and I can't even get through that. I just don't have time for all this. Yeah. But yeah, priorities, I guess.
Yeah, I get you there. Well, Frank, anything else in your list?
I think that's pretty much everything that's specifically anime related. Other than that, I'm a big game show fan, so Wheel of Fortune and The Price is Right and the like, but that's not anime stuff. So that's all.
Very nice. How about you, Charles?
Well, I seem to forget every year that December is pretty much my non-anime month because there's so much family stuff going on every day. So I've fallen behind in every single series I've been watching, except for Your Lie in April, which is very quickly becoming one of my very favorite series. So that's the only one I'm keeping up with. Everything else has fallen behind. When I get a chance to watch anime, I've been watching all these Christmas anime episodes.
For this, the 12 days of Christmas, how many of those did you do? Six?
I think I did six or seven this time around, yeah.
So do you watch all of those episodes then?
You know, so this year I was going to do two or three new ones and then kind of repeat some of the older ones. And I wasn't planning on rewatching those, but then I felt if I wanted to write a good post, I need to rewatch them again because my very favorite Christmas episode, I might mention this later again, is a Love Hina Christmas special. I've seen that so many times, but it's been so long now since I've seen it that I had to rewatch that too. And that was like an hour of my time and so forth. So, so I watched all these episodes and then I did the Secret Santa thing and I forgot how much time that takes. And that was another 13 episodes. I did Morio no Hako, which was a really involving series. And actually that I had to stop and think after every episode also. So it was like 40 minutes per episode. Basically I was setting aside for that. So just haven't been able to keep up with anything else. But that's okay. I'm planning on catching up with a couple series, hopefully, before the next season begins. But, you know, that's always my plan, and it rarely works out.
Yeah.
But that's all I'm up to.
Well, speaking of Secret Santa, I don't remember what exactly... All right, so episode 3, we had the Reverse Thieves, and we explained what Secret Santa was, or their Secret Santa, which is they get lots of anime bloggers, and they all exchange recommended anime secretly, like a Secret Santa, normal Secret Santa exchanges, and the recipient picks one of the three recommendations to watch and then reviews it. Well, I got three... Well, all right, I got two... that seemed like things I would decidedly not like, and then one I had already seen. And so I sent that back, and I got a third one, which also seemed like something I would decidedly not like. And so for the last month or two, I've been complaining to Charles about how I was very frustrated with the fact that I got these ones that I didn't like, and how I didn't want to watch them, and then the one that I thought I would dislike the least was the longest of all of them. And so I finally decided, like, the last few days I just marathoned the one I picked, which was Phantom Requiem for the Phantom. I enjoyed watching it. You can read my review. It'll be up by the time this podcast goes up. But I was pretty harsh in it. And then I hit Charles, kind of proofread my review. And it turns out that this entire 2 months that I've been complaining to him about these recommendations I got from this complete idiot of a blogger who apparently doesn't know anything about my tastes was Charles.
Yeah.
So I apologize for any and all complaints I may have made.
No, that's okay. Like, two things. One, I went through kind of a grieving process with all this because I was like, first of all, I was like, I felt bad. I was like, oh, I thought I knew his taste. And then I felt sad. And then I was a little bit angry, and then I was like, you know what, it's all okay, but, you know, I'm glad that you at least kind of liked the series I picked out. I think I'm not cut out for Secret Santa, because this, actually, JP, your response this year was much better than my Secret Santa recipient's response last year. The cart driver, who's a really popular anime blogger, he got my recommendations last year, and for like weeks on end he was tearing apart episode by episode of the series he was watching, and everyone was commenting and saying, how could they pick this for you. And I was just like, oh man, this is terrible. I'm never gonna do this again. But you know, it's all okay. I'm glad that you ended up with something that that's at least probably worth watching. So,
well, I'm glad I watched it, regardless of if I liked it or not. I'm glad I watched it because it's really popular, and at least now I feel like I have an educated opinion on it.
There you go.
At the very least,
there
yeah.
There you go.
I'm just really hoping that my Secret Santa recipient likes the ones that I sent him.
I think I'm the only bad link, because like almost always, unless you get, so there are certain anti bloggers out there that make their living off of doing negative anti blogging on them, which you would call that. So they're going to hate whatever you give them. But pretty much every other review I read is like, oh, this was really great. This was terrific. I really enjoyed this. So although I will say that one of the people on our blog, I think, is going to give a probably a worse review for their anime than you gave. So you won't be the only one this time around.
Well, regardless of this experience, I really enjoyed it, and I'll definitely be doing it next year, assuming I have the time to do so.
I'm glad I didn't scare you away. That was what I was most worried about.
that was a pretty hilarious interaction. Now, see, all of your responses make perfect sense now, in hindsight.
Just give it a try. It's all right. You know, it's okay. It's not too bad.
Well, anyways, moving on. This season, like I mentioned before, I've cut back a lot. Kazan and I are doing our normal season review, so you can look forward to that at some point in the near future. Right now, my kind of highlights for the season are Fate Stay Night was kind of dragging. I was kind of getting a little disappointed, but they were very faithful to the source material, the issue being that the source material has some pretty dull moments in it. But it's picked up again, and I'm looking forward to the hour-long episode, which airs the Saturday after this podcast airs. So that's been a highlight. Your Lie in April, I've been on the fence of whether I want to do a 7 or an 8 out of 10 rating for it. So those have been kind of my two highlights. I also really like When Supernatural Battles Became Commonplace. Shirobako's been fun, not for the same reason the other ones have been, but Lauren Orsini gave a pretty good review of it that I can link you to. That's pretty much reflects my opinions of it. Mushishi has been... Oh, how could I forget Mushishi? Mushishi is my absolute favorite. Actually, of all time ever. So, Mushishi is great. Wolf Girl and Black Prince has been what it's been. It's just kind of a guilty pleasure for me at this point. And then Sora No Method, I'll mention this in my review, but it's been kind of a disappointment because I was really hyping it when it came out. And it wasn't bad, really. It just didn't live up to my expectations, which was unfortunate. Now, Frank, you've been watching that, right?
Yes.
So what's your thoughts been? What have your thoughts been on it?
Personally, I think it's an absolutely amazing show. One of my favorites of the season. So I guess it merits your expectations of it. But one of the things I've felt is that it had a feel very similar. It felt very similar to Anohana for me, and Anohana is one of my top three shows of all time. And so it was, but also had its own charm to it. It's a very cute show, of course. And
yeah.
I guess I just never really had as much problem with the drama as I've seen some of the other people have.
Well, I mean, I'm all for drama, and I'm a proponent of PA works, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. So melodrama kind of goes hand in hand with that studio. They, mm-hmm. PA works didn't do Sora No Method, but I've commented on several occasions that it feels like a PA works show, even though it wasn't by them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure what it is. There are some things that they hit that I really liked. The whole saucer arc. Well, that was the whole show. I almost said the saucer arc, but the entire show is about the saucer. It was original. I don't know. It just didn't quite hit what I was hoping it would, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I guess it kind of hit me in your place.
well, good. I'm glad someone enjoyed it as much as I was hoping to.
Yeah.
Most of my otaku diet recently, or at least substantial diet, has been visual novels. I've finally finished all of the major key visual novels. I never thought I would actually be able to because of Canon and Air being eroge. However, I managed to get my hands on some of the all-ages versions, so I've been having a blast reading through those. Canon, which is actually the anime that Charles recommended for Secret Santa last year, correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
See, I'm actually a big fan of the Canon anime, so if you had recommended it to me... the Canon visual novel is good. It's not fantastic. The anime is a really good adaptation of it, though. It has some obvious issues because you can't have 5 romances in a single story. It doesn't...
JP, there are no issues with the Canon anime. That is very possibly my favorite anime of all time. So I would say you and my Secret Santa guy last year were both probably wrong on this one. But I don't think I could be.
Yeah, definitely not. You are always 100% accurate.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the Canon anime, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I really want to rewatch it now because the visual novel was quite good, I thought. Air has been the real highlight, though. Air, Rewrite, I have just praised Rewrite up and down ever since I read it. But Air, maybe not quite as good as Rewrite, in my opinion, but it's fantastic. And as confusing, have you guys seen Air, the anime?
I have.
Okay, and just gut reactions, what do you guys think of them?
Well, I pretty much hated the first 9 episodes of Air, and then the end was a little confusing, but I liked the ending. I thought it was you know, emotional and well done.
What about you, Frank?
I enjoyed it. It's not really among like the high tier of my anime favorites, but it's definitely
Now, would you say that because of the slower first half, the confusing ending, or both, or neither?
Neither, really. I just connected more of a canon and clanage for who knows what reason, but
I can understand that. Error is it's of much grander scope, but it's kind of subtly so. And I must say, most people don't like it because the first half of Error is pretty slow and kind of boring. The last half, though, is super confusing. Like, I've watched it several times, and I still had no idea what was going on. But I can say, if you can find a copy of the all-ages version of Air, read it, because it is not confusing at all. It explains absolutely everything, and I can actually now, if someone asks me, I can give a full explanation as to what happens in Air. it's completely clear, and it's kind of amazing. I guess that's what happens when you'd adapt a visual novel that's the same length as canon into an anime that's less than half the length of canon. So anyway, that's been kind of the majority of my otaku diet, in addition to my saxophone album coming up. Now, I wish we could spend more time talking. I've already spent way more time talking than I should have in this section. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the main topic today. So now, this time of year, it seems everyone has one thing on their minds, and that is, of course, Christmas. Even in Japan, where Christmas has just been adopted as a Western holiday, more like Valentine's Day than anything, Christmas is a huge deal, and this is reflected in the anime we see. So, Charles, just offhand, how many Christmas anime episodes do you think you've seen out of how many there are total?
I've probably watched, or especially over the course of the last few years doing the series of posts, I probably watched about 30 or 40 specific episodes about Christmas. And I imagine there must be at least about 200 because, you know, the list I send out to the Beneath the Tangles writers every year saying, you know, pick something to write about is about 150 anime. And that doesn't even include the anime that have come out in recent years. So there are a lot of Christmas anime episodes. I was thinking about this a little bit, and you know, you mentioned that it's a bit of a romantic holiday in Japan. So you think that the Christmas anime are going to be mostly with rom-com type series, but even series that are nothing like that have Christmas episodes. Like I did one review over Big O, for instance, right? Something you might expect out of Big O. And then JP, you did one. You know, the very first day of this series of posts was about Bartender. You know, that's not something you would necessarily expect a Christmas episode on.
Right. Also a series we've talked about the last two episodes of our podcast, in case you're curious.
Recurring themes.
Yeah. So now, in addition to Frank, you wrote an article last year around Christmas time talking about some Christmas episodes. We've also gotten a couple questions. So Andrew from wonderfulcatman.tumblr.com asked us what our favorite winter or Christmas animes are. And then we got V from accelerants.tumblr.com, who asked if we had any favorite Christmas arcs or episodes, and out of those Christmas episodes, what we thought typically made a Christmas arc enjoyable for us. Now, since our topic for the day is talking about Christmas episodes, I think we'll be answering both of these questions pretty much organically in this section. Now, before we do go on, I do want to mention, because Andrew asked about winter anime as well. Now, the only winter anime I can think of that's not a Christmas that doesn't have a Christmas episode is probably canon. And so, I mean, I'm always a huge proponent of any sort of narrative being thematic, and I can look over some other flaws if I just really love the theme that they've come up with, which is why I love Key so much, because Key key series, the visual novels and the anime, a lot of them have pretty serious issues, but most of them are overcome to me because the themes are just so rot, perfectly rot, in my opinion, anyway. So canon, the whole story takes place in January, so kind of bleak winter setting. So that would be my favorite winter anime. But the rest of the time, unless you guys have any examples of winter anime, we'll just be talking about Christmas, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, canon's the only thing that stuck out to me, and I was going to say that you know, canon may not be perfect, I guess, but it's that tone that I really buy into. I just watched that first episode, and I'm there. You know, it's I'm you know, it's hook, line, and sinker for me. You know, I'm into it. I'm into the wintertime theme, and that takes me to a place. So, yeah, that's the only one I can think of that's specifically winter and not Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm looking over my anime list, and I'm the only canon is the only winter centered show I'm seeing there.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh wait, well. No, I don't think White Album 2 really counts.
Okay, it's not very often that you... Well, there are so many summer anime out there. Mm-hmm. Anohana, Air, just right off the bat. Probably because of summer break. But also, winter's just kind of a dreary season. Once you pass Christmas is like the highlight, but it's at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So once you pass Christmas, you're just kind of like stuck inside. I like winter, personally, but... I can see why it doesn't make for a popular setting.
Yes.
So, Frank, last year you had a few examples that you wrote about. Do you care to share a couple of those?
If you haven't read my blog yet, just so you know, one of the shows that is not a guilty pleasure for me, but might seem like it, is Sister Princess. It's a show that has kind of gotten me sort of interested in familial dynamics, as well as, to an extent, little sister characters. But it had a really nice Christmas episode, and because it was just, you know, it was about the brother wanting to do something to thank his sisters, the sisters wanted to do something to thank his brother, and sort of in the end, the sisters come up with a song for him, and it's really sweet, and it was nice. What else do I have in here? The Idolmaster, the anime for that had a also pretty good Christmas episode.
Okay, so Frank, now I see the Idolmaster listed in here. Now, before I ask my next question, how similar is the Idolmaster to Love Live? Or are they completely different animals? Because I'm just curious.
They are fairly different.
Okay.
Love Live is more like a club and school club anime, where you have you're together sort of bunch of students and they work together to do something. The idols in Idolmaster, they are like actually professional idols, so their idols that work is actually like work.
Oh, okay.
And so it's approached from that angle. So it turns out they sort of end up having two different feels to them, even though they both center around music.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to inflame any passionate fans with that question.
You probably will in the comments after this podcast goes up.
Well, I apologize for my ignorance.
Yeah, I think there's some rivalry. I personally enjoy both franchises a lot, so.
Well, now let me ask, what exactly did you enjoy about the Christmas episode for the Idolmaster? Because obviously I'm not familiar with it, so I'm coming at this from a completely ignorant standpoint.
Okay, I'm pretty much going to have to read off my blog. So apparently, it's the 24th episode of 26, so it's, well, 25, so it's pretty late in the show. And so all the girls, there's like 13 girls, and they have like, their workloads are getting really heavy. So one of the girls, Haruka, she really wants to spend more time with them, but because of all their different schedules, it's becoming hard. And then, so this kind of starts getting to her. And then during a rehearsal, she ends up almost falling down into a pit. And then the producer has to save her, and he ends up getting injured, and that really makes her.
Oh, you meant like a literal pit. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess apparently something had broken on the stage. So yeah.
Okay. I thought you were like she got really depressed or something.
Yeah, it's a literal pit. Then
you're like the producer. The producer had to pull her out. So I'm like, oh, so he cheered her up, and then he like fell down. Okay. Sorry. Go on.
Okay. So this all causes her to break down, and then she decides to, and then she quits being an idol, and then there's a lot of things happen, and she ends up deciding to be an idol again, and then at this time, her best friend Chihaya and gets all the other girls together and records a message telling they want her to come back, and then they also announce a New Year's concert, and yeah, so it all ends happily, and it's sort of. I guess it's a good sort of theme of, I guess, forgiveness and just coming to understand each other.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe not necessarily anything spectacular, but just a nice kind of pick-me-up episode for around the Christmas season.
Yes.
Which I think that's a... Would you agree with the sentiment that that's a pretty common theme in a lot of anime? I mean, both of you. Around Christmas time.
Yeah, you know, So, a lot of Christmas anime episodes, rather, are feel kind of wasted. But there are two particular types that really stick out to me that are really good. And one is the type that shows some sort of positive, joyful meaning. You know, something like Frank mentioned. I think of Chrono Crusade, which is a series I really didn't enjoy.
Yeah, but, no, I can't really say I did either.
Yeah, but I enjoyed the Christmas episode a lot. There's it is a joyful kind of episode, and it's a very good one. You know, K-On! Also has kind of that kind of feel vibe to it, right? But and then there's the episodes, the other type of Christmas episode you have that's really good, which is the kind that has a lot of depth to it. I don't know, and sometimes that means like showing some sort of deeper meaning for the season. You know, I think my favorite—I mentioned Love Hina, but probably my very favorite Christmas episode from a series is actually from Super Dimensional Fortress Macross, because there's so much depth to this specific episode that that's about Christmas. It's about wartime, and there's really a lot of meaning to it. And then also you can also pine for meaning without being so extravagant, like in the Christmas arc in Toradora, which really kind of digs into the character dynamics and changing relationships. And Minori, who's my favorite character of all time, she kind of starts breaking in these episodes, and Taiga is kind of breaking in these episodes, and Ami in her own kind of way is breaking in these episodes, and all sorts of transformation is happening. So you can really just skim the surface with Christmas episodes, or you can really use Christmas, as bad as that may sound, and really make something like special out of it. And that's when you have something special from these specific Christmas episodes, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Bartender, I won't go into too much depth because the article is already there on the site, but I talked a little bit about Bartender, and it's a little hard to tell with Bartender. Sometimes it kind of straddles the line between brilliant and pretentious. I think I say that a lot, but it's now with like something like Fate Stay Night. I like Fate Stay Night, but it's clearly pretentious. Most of the jabber that happens in there is just kind of good sounding garbage, a little bit like the new Batman movies. Sorry if
you're
I offended
anyone. You're just inviting
anyone.
Flames. I'm going to flame you for Christopher Nolan right now.
Well, I like the new Batman movies, but they say some things that don't really make much sense. But that's way beyond the point. So I'm going to go back. So there are some things in that Bartender episode that I'm like, I can't tell if they're actually trying to convey this meaning or if it was a total accident. But anyway, regardless, I felt like it conveyed a lot more than what your standard Christmas kind of throwaway episode does. You've got, first of all, allusions to the Christmas story of following the star. That's very brief, but then you have the theme of hope, which is very tied in with the Christian Christmas story. Just very interesting whenever they actually try to dig a little bit deeper. You, of course, get the reference to Santa Claus, but Santa Claus is fun. I have no beef with Santa Claus.
You know, just kind of tangentially related. I've mentioned these. We've mentioned a few Christmas series, but I would say my favorite Christmas anime is not a series, but it's a movie. Can you all guess?
Oh, I can. How about you, Frank?
Sorry, I'm gonna have to pass.
Well, I'm assuming it's the one that's on our convenient anime movie recommendations page. Would I be correct?
It would be. That's correct. Yeah, so it's Tokyo Godfathers, which is... I'm not the biggest Satoshi Kon fan in the world. So I took a long time before I watched Tokyo Godfathers. I kind of waited to watch it for years. But when I finally did, I was really surprised at how much I liked it. Just a lot of depth to it. Really memorable characters, of course, and redemption stories all over the place. You know, it's able to walk that line, JP, that I think you mentioned, where it's. I never felt that it was pretentious at any point. You know, although it could have easily gone that way. You know, but
I agree.
Yeah, it was moving without being particularly emotional or corny or anything like that, right? It's gritty and vulgar a lot of points.
Vulgar.
Yeah, almost all the time, right? But but it conveys the meaning of the season without having to hit you over the head with it. It's just a very, very good film.
Frank, have you seen Tokyo Godfathers?
I have not. I'm very bad at my anime movie watching.
Well, yeah, I would highly recommend it. Maybe make that your Christmas movie this year. you can check out our review on the anime recommendations page, but it's very different from any other, I would say even any anime shows that portray Christmas. It's kind of a different animal altogether in a good way.
Oh, definitely, definitely. What else? What's another Christmas anime episode that y'all particularly liked?
Yeah, Frank. We were looking at your article, but you had mentioned that some of your favorites aren't even on here. So, I mean, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
First thing that comes to mind for me, Kitamaru's Sketch Honeycomb episode 11. It is sort of more lighthearted Christmas episode, but I really like what happens in that particular episode, because there's this one recurring character, her name's Natsume, and she's not one of the residents of the Hidemari apartments, but she's kind of interested in one of the girls, first of all, but we'll put that aside. And she's kind of just out there, connect with them, but not really. And for that Christmas episode, they invite her over to be part of their annual Christmas party. And I just thought that was just really nice how they just went out of their way to include someone that wasn't really otherwise, it's just part of them. And so I really like that. That's probably my favorite Christmas episode.
Oh, you know what? I just realized. How did I forget about this? But the Haruhi movie.
Oh, right. There's a winter anime.
Yeah. Have you seen the Haruhi movie, Frank?
You haven't seen movies. I still need to get through Endless Eight.
You might be there for a while.
just skip that. But the first 5 minutes of the movie have to do with a Christmas party, so yeah. I guess you could call it a... it would be a bit of a stretch, but you could call it a Christmas anime also.
It's a winter movie.
There you go. It's just a very good movie. So it'll restore your faith in Haruhi if you lost it during Endless Eight, I think. And I know a lot of people did.
that can be your New Year's movie, Frank.
All right. I'm set for her.
Sorry, my little rabbit trail there. What were some of the other favorites that you were thinking of, Frank?
Oh, speaking of rabbits, It's the Order of Rabbits actually had a pretty nice Christmas episode.
Oh, that's right. It did, didn't it?
Yeah. What I really liked about it is because a lot of, like, the actual Christmas event was actually the girls working at the cafe for the other customers that went on there. It's a kind of nice tribute to the people that still have to work on Christmas. And just a nice way of just showing how, you know, sometimes, you know, just serving others is... can be just as festive as receiving gifts. And
well, that's kind of the name or the reason. No, I don't want to say the reason for the season because that's Jesus. I can totally understand the other side of, I mean, not just receiving the gifts, but giving the gifts. Because even this year, my budget has been absolutely tiny. Just college student, I don't have a job, so... two reasons to not have money. And so I had to kind of get a little creative. So I had a lot of fun putting together the gifts this year. You know what? This is going up Christmas, so I can actually spoil the gifts. So I got everyone a little something different. Like my dad, I got a pair of slippers. My brother, I got an Amazon gift card with a really witty card and message on it. And my mom has been asking me for recordings of saxophone stuff for a long time now. So
did you give her the Key anthology collection?
I did. Actually, what it started out as, I wanted to make something for her, and then I spent so much time on it that I was like, well, I need to just release this to everyone, but I still want it to be a gift. So she's getting it on Christmas Day, which is also when the Tangles listeners are getting it, but everyone else doesn't get it till January 1st.
How about this for a gift? A rock. So there's a, if we go on, I'll make the connection here. So as long as we're talking about cheap gifts, right? One of my favorite Christmas anime episodes is a old show called Maisa ni Koku, which is, you know, a classic anime from the 80s. And they actually have several Christmas episodes. But one Christmas episode is about how the main character has, like, this beautiful rock that he's trying to get to his love, who's Kyoko, who's kind of the inn manager where he lives. And it's just so angsty. Like, they don't do angst so much in anime anymore, but it is just, like, angst to the utmost extent. And I love that. Like, that's also what the Love Hina episode is about. It's just so much angst. But you get that idea also about the value of the gift is in the giving and the heart, you know, and that's a bit,
like,
of a cheesy
gift of the
message.
Magi.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cheesy message because we've been hit over with it so many times, but...
Over the head with a rock?
Ah, I see what you did there. But, you know, that's exactly right. You know, that's the good stuff, you know? So, yeah, very good, JP. That's some great gifts for your family there.
Thank you. But, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun to put together these creative gifts, or... if you do have a lot of money, there was one Christmas I had a lot of money, and I don't know how I had a lot of money, but apparently I did, and I spent a ton of money on my family, and, you know, I have never regretted it, because it was a lot of fun, even for me, just watching them open the gift, and then being like, wait, there's another gift? And just, like, keep opening presents. So, yeah, the gift of giving, like you said, but... that and other rabbit trail all the way back to Is the Order a Rabbit. Yeah, Is the Order a Rabbit actually, it had some surprisingly deep moments. I mean, deep is very subjective because it's pretty much just a moe blob, but, you know, I enjoyed it pretty thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I know you did too, Frank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. And I guess if I can just mention one more sort of Christmas-ish episode. I posted on this on my blog recently. Log Horizon had an interesting sort of thing Christmas Eve related. And there's a lot of spoilers with it, so I'm not really going to go into much detail. You can read my post on my blog if you want more on that. But it actually kind of approached the things on Christmas Eve in an interesting, almost symbolic way, but without actually really feeling like a Christmas episode, if that makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I've read the article, and I highly recommend it. There's there are times, you know, mostly what we do on our blog, JP, is we draw Christian, you know, analogy, symbolism, whatever. We draw these things out where they were never necessarily intended, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we understand that. We're just reading it from our point of view. But there are times when, you know, for example, when I read Frank's article, I was like, huh, I wonder if they were really intentionally thinking of doing some of these things, because there are some striking analogies in that episode. So I definitely recommend our readers go check that out. And as far as I understand, Log Horizon is a very good show, too, in general. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll definitely provide a link for that on our podcast description. Well, I'm looking at the clock, and it looks like we are nearing our limit for this section of the podcast. So if you'd like to read more of Frank's thoughts, be sure to check out his blog, A Series of Miracles, at nichijousdf.blogspot.com. That is nichijousdf.blogspot.com. But, as always, before we close for the month, it's time for Listener Mail.
Listener Mail.
Okay, so this month for Listener Mail, we have three questions, in addition to the two that we already answered, hopefully, for our main topic. So question one comes from numbersinspace.wordpress.com. And Numbers in Space blog asks, as writers, are there any writing habits you guys have? For example, I slowly type everything, sleep at night, and then sleep a night. I would assume they sleep at night. Sleep a night, and then edit everything after that. Well, I can go ahead and start with this one. I used to be a much more consistent writer than I am now. Charles, you might be able to attest to that. I've definitely gotten a lot busier since I started writing Beneath the Tangle, so I consequently start procrastinating more. On the positive side, though, I have done a little bit of a better job with proofreading, I think, purely because I've read a lot of posts that have not been proofread. And so I get a little self-conscious and try to make sure that my posts are up to par. Beyond that, I'm sure there are some, but I can't quite think of them off the top of my head. How about you, Charles?
So when JP talks about proofreading, he's talking about my articles, because, okay. So, and this is, maybe I shouldn't say this, but, a side job I do is I actually proofread other people's articles. sometimes people gain their PhDs and advanced degrees, but I hate proofreading my articles. So I'm glad that JP points out all my foibles all the time. But personally, when I'm writing articles, I got to strike while the iron's hot. I get in this habit sometimes where, and it's procrastination, where I get this idea that I think is great for an article. I jot a few notes down in my drafts folder, and then I tend to go back to it. But I must have trashed literally about 100 articles over the last few years, because when I do go back to those posts, I'm like, what did I mean to say here? What was my intent? And I didn't write enough of an outline to give me something to go on. So what I need to do is, like I said, I got to strike while the iron's hot. I've got to write my whole article. And then occasionally I'll go back and make some edits, but usually I try to finish it right then and there, and then schedule it. Otherwise I'm going to lose what I have. How about you, Frank? How do you blog?
How do I blog? I don't necessarily recommend doing this, but usually I'm blogging while I'm watching my game shows.
So Pat Sajak gives you the what you need to get going there, right?
Yeah, so I'll have to be careful, because sometimes I end up typing what the puzzle answer is. But yeah, sometimes I'll just it helps, because you know the game shows air every day. So yeah. I usually feel like doing something while I'm watching them, so I just open my laptop and start blogging. And I mean, it at least has me on a semi-consistent writing schedule. So
that's actually a good habit, because you're setting aside, you know, in a way, a time and place, right? You know, and mm-hmm. then you're getting used to that. Yes. You get that consistency there. That's not a bad habit at all.
Yeah, you just have to be careful, because you could get too distracted with the show starts and you're writing while it kind of slips a little.
Well, if you start sounding like Drew Carey or something,
yeah.
I was just gonna say, I mean, if there is a show to put on the background while you're blogging, it's probably a game show. It's not really of the highest intellectual caliber. Mm-hmm. You can kind of just veg out and then look up and see who won some money.
Yeah. Unless you're watching Jeopardy, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I suppose that's
I'm not really big on Jeopardy, though. So, okay. Yeah.
Ha.
That works out for me, I guess.
Well, I hope that answers your question. So moving on to question two, this comes from Confused Kaneth, spelled with K's, and I love his handle, at the son of a monkey on Twitter. And his question is, has there ever been an anime or manga that changed a belief you held or significantly altered your worldview? Charles, you want me to go first again? Or
yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. Well, our last episode probably answers it. We'll give you kind of the same answers, but with a little bit of a different twist. So my two anime examples for this would probably be Clannad and Horomusuko, which I mentioned last episode. There are probably others, but these are the two that come to mind first. Clannad is just so incredibly thick on the themes of family and love and sacrificial love. And I mean, when you break down crying because of something that happened in a show, it affects you somehow. I mean, I know when I watched that, I came out with a, maybe not a completely different perspective, but at least an altered perspective on what it means to be a part of a family, and just everything that goes along with that. Horomusuko, then, was much more recent and probably much more subtle, but it's just, its portrayal of the LGBTQ community is one of the smartest, I think, well-written I've seen, at least in a long time. And it's, I mean, anime, they kind of poke fun at those things a lot. They don't really treat that topic seriously. And then you look at Western media, like, what is it, Modern Family. I mean, that's, Modern Family is kind of just an example of when you have homosexuals within the community, but they don't really dig deep into a lot of the heavier issues that go along with that. Horomusuko is completely a serious drama that just spends all of its time dealing with those issues. And I just remember coming out and being like, man, so my fundamental beliefs, I think, remain unchanged. But the way that I go about enacting those is definitely different, because I feel like now I understand the problems that people go through and the motivations for different worldviews and things. I know, Charles, you've seen both of those and were very affected by them as well.
So, yeah, JP, I basically have the same answers as you. Horomusuko is such a sensitive series. So well done. But I would say basically the same thing, that these shows and a few others, they've not changed my worldview, but they've made me kind of think more deeply about my deeply held beliefs. You know, they've made me explore some ideas and really become more knowledgeable, and really, you know, really try to be more open to certain things. And then on the other hand, a lot of series have also kind of re-emphasized ideas to me and really, really touched me or moved me. And, you know, and in this Christian sense, I think have really, I really feel, without, you know, sounding crazy to non-Christians, but Christians will get me, that God is speaking to me through a lot of these series, you know, that Clannad especially, I felt that, you know, God was telling me, hey, you need to be a better dad, you know, because you're just like Tomoya, you know, or you're just, you know, or, you know, you're like Tomoya's dad or so. I'm not like Tomoya's dad, by the way. So, but, you know, in some sense, you know, so, you know, things like that. So anime has that capability. I would say there's only been one film in my whole life that's changed my position on a subject. And I'll just mention briefly, it was Dead Man Walking when I watched it. I was totally pro pro death penalty at that time. I am a Texan after all. after watching that movie, I did a 180 flip, and I've been anti-death penalty since that point. But that's the only show that's the only medium that's really changed an entire kind of view I had on life. But these others have really changed the way I not changed the way, but really affected the pushed me to think deeper about a lot of different issues. How about you, Frank? Anything come to mind for you?
Actually, something has come to mind, and it's a bit of a different path from what you guys have chosen. But these two shows have kind of changed my view in a very similar way, even though they're going to sound completely different. One is AKB-0048. The other is Outbreak Company.
Oh, interesting.
And what they've both sort of done for me is they've really sort of given me a view on missionary work. Because in AKB-0048, the idol group there, and with this I've covered all three of my big idol shows, the group there are actually in a place where their music is completely forbidden. And so their work that they're doing is actually in many ways quite similar to the work that some Christians do in places where Christianity is illegal. And so that was very interesting to watch that show from that perspective. Hmm. And then Outbreak Company was more if you were to do a missionary work in a place where it wasn't illegal, but perhaps could still be a bit weird to introduce new ideas to an existing culture. And so both of those shows have sort of just kind of opened my eyes to just more what being a missionary actually would be like. And I am actually considering doing missionary work in Japan some time in the future. So,
well, you heard it here first. Outbreak Company inspires missionary.
That'll be news for the ages.
Right.
That is a wonderfully creative take on that series, I think.
Yeah. Yes. But other than that, like I said, like these childhood friend stories, they've been a big. They've also just been a big. Sort of help for me just in reflecting on my own relationship with God. So that's been a big thing that's affected me too. So I guess those are the big ones.
Yeah, very nice examples. So we'll move on to our final question now, question 3. This comes from Chase and Charles, do you know how to pronounce this? I'm not sure exactly.
I don't, actually. I've always pronounced it in my head as comink, so caminc.tumblr.com.
Yeah, we'll go with comink. I apologize if that's not right, but you are now comink. His question is, what's your favorite giant monster? So, giant monster being kaiju in Japanese. I really don't know what any of them are except for Gojira. So I'm going to have to say the one from Sora no Method that wouldn't stand
the cardboard
up.
Cutout.
Yeah.
Yeah. He took it pretty hard in one of the episodes.
Oh, yeah. Poor kaiju.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of the same thing for me. You know, I watched both American Godzilla movies, and I pretty much disliked both of them pretty thoroughly. Although the first 20 minutes I thought of the most recent one was really good. As soon as what's his name from Breaking Bad was kind of out of the picture, it kind of went downhill from there. But I will say that I like Pacific Rim a whole lot, if that counts. Really enjoyed that movie, and I think the Japanese liked it also. So that was nice. Frank, do you have any kaiju that you specifically like?
I haven't watched any kaiju movies. I guess my answer would be Mothra, but only because one of my favorite Pokemon is Volcarona, who seems to be very Mothra-inspired.
But when I was a kid, I was really into him. You know, he's a very cool-looking kind of monster there.
Does he look like a moth?
Yes, but yeah, I guess...
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, because I have no idea what these things
but
are.
But I guess... Well, I guess that technically means that my favorite giant monster is Volcarona. And he's a big fire bug type that can completely wreck teams that aren't prepared for him. What's not to love?
Shouldn't we as Americans be saying King Kong is our automatic response here?
Wait, is King Kong in a... Well, that... Yeah, Chrysler Building, right? Or wait, was it...
Empire State Building? I don't know. Well, he was a giant monster, but or no, is he just a giant ape?
I don't know. Well, and now I'm having the issue. Metal Gear fans will sympathize with me. Two of the characters in Metal Gear Solid 2 had an argument over which building he climbed up, and now all I can remember is the argument. I can't remember which one it actually is. It's either the Chrysler Building or the Empire State.
Now, is it different buildings in the different King Kong movies, too? Peter Jackson's versus the original? I don't know. Well, you've opened up a can of worms here, Chase.
I'm offending so many fans of so many different things this episode.
That's great for hits, so keep it up.
right. Maybe not for likes, but for hits.
Well, that's all right.
Well, before I offend anyone else, I think we're going to wrap up this episode of The Tangles. So thank you so much for co-hosting this month's episode, Charles, and thanks for your guest appearance, Frank. If you would like to read more of our work, be sure to check out BeneathTheTangles.com and A Series of Miracles at NichijoSDF.blogspot.com for more articles and other works. For those of you interested in early access to the Key Anthology Saxophone Collection, that's right, I did not forget, navigate to the link provided on the description page at BeneathTheTangles.com and enter the password Moe Tangles. That is MOETANGLES, all lowercase. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in next month for The Tangles.
And Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yep, Merry Christmas, and Happy Holidays to everyone that celebrates those other holidays.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening to this month's episode of The Tangles, official companion podcast to BeneathTheTangles.com. Be sure to check out our full site for more articles and analyses on the intersection of otaku culture and faith. If you would like to submit a question, send an email to thetangles@outlook.com. Also, be sure to follow our Twitter, @AnimeTangles, and like our Facebook page, Beneath The Tangles, and rate and review The Tangles on iTunes. Featured opening and closing songs are Japanese Dream by Duke Ellington's Orchestra and Blue Piano Stomp by Johnny Dodds, available in the public domain. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll tune in next time for The Tangles.